Welcome to the In My Experience, Perspectives of a Woman CEO podcast, featuring Marion Miner, CEO of EPG Brand Acceleration and EPG Specialty Information. Now, here's your host, David G.
Empathy and leadership, do they go together? And if so, how? Hi, everyone. I'm David G. Welcome to Perspectives of a Woman CEO with the CEO herself, the leader of EPG Brand Acceleration and EPG Specialty Information. It is Marion Miner. Good to see you again, Marion.
Great to see you, David.
Yeah, it's fun to, we're not always in the room for the same room for a podcast, so it's kind of fun to sit across from each other. We were sitting across from each other at lunch and talking about empathy and how leaders can embed empathy into their leadership style. So let's start by kind of framing the landscape a little bit. Is it possible to be empathetic in a leader, and how do we do that?
Well, I've been examining this for quite some time, and I've been all over the map. And there was a time that I felt, and maybe again it had to do with some of the situations that you find yourself in. There are certain situations when you need more directive leadership. We've talked about that. And then there are other times that, you know, you may need a different touch, or you may need a different type of leadership. So I think that as we're moving forward and we're needing innovation, we're off of COVID, there's still some, you know, there's some residual things that we'll be dealing with going forward. So my feeling at this moment is there is a place for empathy in, you know, the leadership roles.
Looking at some recent research, empathy seems to be really kind of percolating top of mind for business leaders and their employees. EY Ernst Young Empathy and Business Survey recently found that 90% of employees believe, quote, empathetic leadership leads to higher job satisfaction. How about that? Mm-hmm. And 79% believe that it decreases employee turnover. So getting empathy from their leaders and their managers, that goes directly to how much they enjoy their jobs. I'm surprised at that. Are you surprised at that statistic? Have you been aware of this?
Certainly. Yeah. I have. I think to the extent that what they're looking for in their managers and their leaders, to that extent, was very surprising to me. And that's what initially took me back a little bit, going, oh, that's really a lot to carry.
Yeah, that is big pressure.
You're leading a company and you have to make tough decisions.
Yeah.
And so what is empathy, really? And I think so I've looked into that a little bit too as well. And part of that, as your leader, you once started out in your first job and you had some of the same demands and everything, remembering those things. I think one of the things that I have found, though, about myself that I want to work on being better at is what's motivating for me may not be motivating for others. And so that can't come in from an empathy standpoint. Right. So it's asking questions or really trying to understand what that means. So and what does that mean to them overall, to those people that are watching that, or those people that are expressing that, you know, that we're looking for empathy. Well, what is that really? And if we know what that is, then we can deliver on it, or we can say, unfortunately, we can't deliver on that because we are, you know, in a very tough time economically, the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
They're talking of recession and everything. Yeah. And, you know, there are just some things that have to wait, or there are some compromises that need to be made on both sides. So I initially said, gosh, there's no way that fits at all. But I think as we've been on this journey, and I've been on this journey with a lot of people, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Mm-hmm. It is, we're doing it together. And it's much better to be doing it together, right. You know, when we're empathetic and not worrying about this or that or, you know, how it's affecting me overall without understanding what the person is going through overall. Mm-hmm.
You know, there seems to be a fair, as I was looking at the research, a fair amount of skepticism among people who participated in the survey. About half of employees that were surveyed said that their company's efforts to be empathetic toward employees are dishonest and disingenuous. And that, again, about half say that their company doesn't follow through on its promises. So that tells me that empathy is on the minds of company leaders. It might be on their mission statement. It might be articulated at company meetings or internal communications or newsletters, but that's the rubber's not meeting the road. So in that half of people who feel like it's not a legitimate thing, I mean, what do you attribute that kind of that void from what we say to what we do, simply because is it dishonest? Is it, well, we tried to do a little smoke and mirrors, or is it the reality of leading just kind of sometimes doesn't directly meet with being able to be empathetic?
Well, the way I view that is understanding the values. Mm-hmm. So it's stating the values, and then, because I think when I hear that statement, that to me seems, that's a really tall thing to deal, that so many people feel it's not being, they're not being heard, but with, you know, 50,000, thousands of people in a company, that's really hard for leadership, executive team, managers to do overall, you know. So I'm recommending that, you know, empathy is kind of a mutual thing, and it's mutually understanding the demands on each side. Also, it is saying it's important. They're saying the CEO and being a leader and being an empathetic leader, they're setting the tone, but it's important when you have a business that permeates all levels, and that it's hard for somebody in a very large company to be empathetic on a very individual basis. Mm-hmm. That's not their job going forward. They want to be mindful, certainly, of the demands that are on businesses or on people, like COVID or the recession and everything. But at the end of the day, it's the business overall. And I do think those that remember the path that they took, they generally enjoy business and people, are certainly going to naturally have that empathy. But to kind of hold that bar up there that high, I can see why people would want it, but it's only one element of your life, you know, and you can self-advocate for yourself and everything, I think. So it's a very hard subject, and I've thought a lot about it, and I think it's necessary and it's needed, because I really do feel before COVID, you know, there was just a plan how things were going. Business was roaring and everybody just knew what to expect. And there was, gas was inexpensive and childcare you could find. Yeah. And you were feeling good about things. And then COVID happened.
Yeah.
And now it's gas is twice as much as it is. We've gotten used to being at home and controlling our environments more, and it's hard to find childcare, and our schools are struggling to bring our kids. We have to be empathetic. Yeah. That's what people bring with them. We can't say, leave that at home and everything. Right. And I also want to say that understand that management and leaders are people too.
Yeah.
They have problems with childcare.
Right.
You know, they have aging parents. They have all of those things. And it's as much as we understand that about each other, or again, like we were talking about earlier, understanding where the person's coming from, the demands on there, and trying to come to something in the middle rather than, I feel this person is empathetic or they're not. Right. And I like, it's like the politics. It's like you're the presidential candidate. A lot of things that we're looking for, at least initially, are certain qualities that that may not be good qualities to make a president. But that, to us, is, you know, it fulfills a need overall. Yeah. And is that really fair overall to judge people that way?
Have you, we're talking about, you know, the journey that we're on with our careers, where there are times that as you look back early in your career, middle part of your career, where even if you didn't have the language for it or weren't able to articulate it clearly, where you felt like you were getting empathetic leadership, where you felt like not just valued and having your voice heard, but that a manager or a leader was really making a concerted effort to understand you? Was it not a thing?
It was not really a thing. Yeah. I think that, know that I've been in business for about 40 years or so, and started out with a fairly large company for a large part, and very male-dominated.
Yeah, for sure.
And that at the time, if you were a female, you were encouraged to be like males.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. You dress for success with a little bow and all of these things. It's very different now, but I don't recall that. And one of the very interesting things that I've observed overall is when we get together within the company as a team in our town hall meetings, the things that resonate the most are the empathetic, it's the connection, it is recognizing what we're doing, you know, and how it contributes to well-being, and, you know, talking about mental health a little bit. And yes, some of these things that are happening are scary, and just know that I'm scared, or know that I have other things. Just recognizing that. So I just think management style is changing as it should change.
Yeah, as it should have.
I think generationally how young adults were raised is very different than how I was raised. It's very different. And I think you have fathers that are much more involved and things. So I think it's changing with the time. I just caution everybody that in order in the business world to really innovate and move forward, that there needs to be kind of an overall mutual drive or understanding of what all the roles are and that everybody want to move forward. Is, you know, maybe another way to look at empathy is really, you know, positive management tips going forward. And one of them is empathy, but it's really recognizing the person and the person coming back and saying to you, yes, you're right in that regard, and embracing that, but then being honest and saying, that's great. No, this is the direction we're going into. How can we work together to, you know, make you happy and for the company, you know, to do well. And that's kind of the balance and the overall exchange that we want to get to. And it just comes down to one of the main things that you talk about all the time, and that's communication and asking questions and really understanding.
And listening.
Right.
And being an active listener.
Right. Yeah. Right. And being present. I think we were talking about that too as well. Yeah. It's very hard to do that with the distractions out there, but
it is.
There's a lot of benefit in that.
It's a bit daunting. You kind of alluded to it, but if I, you know, I'm a manager, and of course I'm going to be invested in my direct reports if I have some, and I'm going to invest in their careers, feedback, positive affirmation, criticism when it's warranted, all those kinds of things. But and that's fine. That's part of being a manager. But if you were to tell me, oh, by the way, you're also responsible largely for that person's mental health in the workplace, I would say, wow, okay, that that's a lot.
Right.
It is a big pressure to bear, isn't it?
It is. And I'm not quite sure that that's a fair expectation.
I'm
big on self-advocating.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that we encourage people to speak up and self-advocate and to understand it's, you know, a much bigger issue than that, that it's not... you're part of a collective.
Right, exactly.
And I think we can all agree when things are working, when there's humor, when there's laughter, when there's shared things, we're more apt to want to be part of that. And I think as a company, we want to make sure everybody's included in that regard. But and you allude to it, and it is. I think the expectations are high out there, you know. So I'm saying... let's strive for the for the positive, but again, understand that, you know, managers are people too, and it's a two-way street. Empathy is a two-way street, and you're seeing it out in personal life where everybody's going, be kind.
Yeah.
Show up, be kind. It's the same thing. Yeah. We're all people, and you know, we've been through trauma many times. A lot of us that are traveling together in our careers have aging parents or losing parents, losing grandparents. Stress and anxiety for our kids is an all-time high.
Absolutely.
And all the other things that, you know, having access to technology and everything is all that noise we've talked about on our town hall meeting, and how do we deal with all that noise and how we deal with it, you know, together and things. So it's not an easy thing. I go back and forth, but I think I've swung more to this concept of trying to find, you know, the middle ground or really understanding what each role is. And how, if we can decide on that and work that together, then it can be fulfilling, you know, for all of us.
Oh, back to the EY Empathy in Business survey. So we can kind of argue the fact about whether or not a manager or company leader should also be responsible for an employee's mental health. But what is clear and kind of an indisputable fact is that 85% of the survey respondents reported that empathetic leadership increases productivity among employees. So we're talking about a soft skill, okay, you know, this empathetic leadership thing over here, but the research shows that it really does show itself in some, not, you know, some actual hard, measurable metrics. Mm-hmm. So,
right, and I think that comes back to your values again, and having these values there and working against those values. So one of our values certainly is, you know, work-life balance. Another value is that every interaction you have with someone is, you know, when you leave that interaction, it's more positive than what it is before. And that doesn't mean there isn't conflict.
Right, exactly.
In that. But I've always found if you address conflict correctly, you get a new understanding. There's fulfillment in that. It's also to, you know, hiring from within and, again, recognizing what people are bringing to their job and that, you know, if you're recognizing that and living the values, then, and they know those are the values, and you're doing what you say, it gets back to that earlier thing that you had said, people think it's dishonest. Well, if it's this big lofty goal with big lofty words, you know, no one's going to believe that. And certainly, like I said, our bigger companies, there's a crisis of confidence in some of our bigger companies. Yeah. I certainly hope that, again, in our environment, which is independent a private company that's been around for 20 years. We work hard in that regard, but they have different pressures than I have. So, yeah.
As we wrap up here, I want to throw out a definition that the Center for Creative Leadership is talking about, putting empathy in practice, and they are clear that one thing you should do is figure out the difference, or kind of delineate the difference between sympathy and empathy. Mm-hmm. So I'll read a quote. Sympathy is typically defined by feelings of pity for another person without really understanding what it's like to be in their situation. Empathy, on the other hand, refers to the capacity or ability to imagine oneself in the situation of another, experiencing the emotions, ideas, or opinions of that person. Empathy in the workplace is often more productive and supportive than sympathy. So agree or disagree with that statement, that take?
I agree with the sympathy and empathy. And I'll just kind of end. My daughter was a drama major and everything. And she's, actually going to be moving, forward to get more education and things, more from a drama therapy standpoint. But really, one of the things that I thought was wonderful, and maybe this is something that, we try to do, but it was her idea to have people in companies or in groups act like another person.
Interesting.
So they could, having to act or to say words or to do things that the other person or the situations that they found themselves in, when you had to actually live in that or address a situation in that or to do that you had a greater understanding that way. And I think that's empathy. Is again being able to say, I don't quite understand how they got to that point or why they said that, but I want to know why. And if I know why, then I have a greater understanding of that, and then maybe I'd be much more empathetic.
Yeah, there's I believe it's a Native American saying about, hey, before you judge me, walk a mile in my shoes.
Right.
And so I think if we, that is at the heart of being an empathetic leader, is simply trying to put yourself in that person's place. And that goes back to, well, okay, then I need to learn a little bit more about them. Okay, that goes back to communication. Then I need to maybe ask some more questions and do a little bit of better job listening. So this is not a quick, easy fix, kind of one-size-fits-all approach. It involves, it's a multi-prong attack that involves communication, active listening, and but probably mostly, like a lot of things, culture and everything else, just some deliberate mindfulness around, okay, this is something that's important to us, something that's important to our employees. Mm-hmm. We're going to be deliberate about trying to find a path, however clunky that is on some days.
Right. Definitely.
Thanks to Marion Miner for being along, Perspectives of a Woman CEO. I always enjoy it.
Yeah. Enjoy it very, very much.
And we enjoyed having you along as well. I'm David G for Marion Miner, Perspectives of a Woman CEO. We'll see you next time, everyone. Thanks for listening.